Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Center for Grant Money here at Car Talk Plaza. We have a new plan, a new approach for funding. Get this. We're applying for a grant from the National Institutes of Health, the NIH. Now,
Not invented here.
As everyone knows, we've been utterly unsuccessful in trying to raise money from outside sources to do this show. Why? Well, we can't get money from anyone remotely connected with the automotive industry.
I don't understand why that is.
Because we've ticked them all off, and they won't touch us with a 10-foot crankshaft.
Who needs them?
We've ticked off educators.
Yeah.
They're out.
Yeah.
Lawyers, it goes without saying, after all those jokes on the website.
Politicians? Oof. Hopeless.
Hollywood, they hate us. Cellular phone makers.
Done for.
Consumer goods.
No.
Insurance companies.
Oh.
The judicial system.
Yeah.
No good. Law enforcement.
No.
No. The entire country of France. There's nobody left. So we're applying.
Don't forget the Middle East.
The
entire Middle East.
So we're applying for an NIH grant based on the following information.
Here it is. My darling sister-in-law, Monique, sent me this. It says, this is from Shape Magazine.
Yes.
She sent it to me because she knew I was in such great shape.
Yeah, she subscribes to Shape, and I get out of Shape Magazine.
So, I mean, this is a little item.
Miss Shape.
It says, the next time you want to boost your health, skip the health club and go to a comedy club. According to Stanford University School of Medicine psychiatrist William Fry, laughing burns calories and helps your health. While exact caloric expenditure is not yet known, it is thought that 100 good laughs, now get this, equals the physiological benefits of 10 minutes on a rowing machine. Wow.
100 good laughs.
Mirthful laughter has a positive impact on many physiological functions. The brain is stimulated. Da, 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 da. Now, here's why I read this. Because out of all this, she chose to underline.
And if you laugh hard enough, it'll clear your sinuses.
Clear your sinuses. She underlines one line. It says, the brain is stimulated with greater alertness, Fry says, which may enhance memory, sociability, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And she underlines, the quality of the wit doesn't seem to matter. Only the quantity. No, what did she mean by that?
I don't know.
So, based on this, I suppose we can raise some money to study it. We'll just study it.
Who sent you that?
Your wife.
Oh, my wife. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting, too. So no more rowing machines, no more treadmills, no more, well, who is that? What is that company that makes that thing you can't stand on, you keep falling off? Nordic Track.
Oh, yeah, the Nordic Torture.
Yeah. The Nordic
Well,
torture.
I remember years ago, actually maybe about 6 months ago, watching a Three Stooges episode, and I don't remember the gist of it except that one of the main characters besides the Stooges was the King of Coleslawvania, King Cole. And every day.
When did they get the stuff?
And every day he would have his subjects come into wherever he sat on his throne, and they would have their daily laugh. And they would just look at each other and start laughing. Andrew and I do that all the time.
Well, who is it? Is it Norman Cousins? That's the guy, right? Who claims to have saved his own life by laughing himself silly.
Yes. Or you could laugh yourself to death. If you want to call us about your car, your health, your laugh, or anything else.
Or if you have some grant money that you'd like to give us, don't leave that out.
Don't forget old Tom and Ray. Our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Tamara, and I'm calling from Hadley, Massachusetts.
Tamara. Are you calling today, or are you calling tomorrow? Remember now, Tamara, the quality of the wit doesn't matter, only the quantity.
That's right.
And that goes with answers to car questions as well. The quality of the car question answer doesn't matter.
Well, I think it's obvious that when we don't know the answer.
We give a lot of them.
We speak a lot about it.
Well, this has both quality and quantity, so.
Oh, good.
It could fit in.
Where are you from, Tamara?
Hadley, Mass.
Hadley, Mass.
Oh, I wasn't paying attention. That happens a lot.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Here's my problem. I have a 1983 Nissan Sentra, and I've had it for over 3 years now, and it's given me absolutely no problem, but about half a year ago, it started dying whenever it would rain or snow out.
Mm-hmm.
It only seems to happen on the freeway when I'm going above 60 miles an hour. I just drive along fine for about 30 or 40 miles, and then it just stops accelerating.
Wait, is the engine running at this time?
Yeah, the engine's running.
Engine's running,
but no power.
But no power. And I pull over to the side of the road, and I shut the car off, and I sit there for a few minutes and make sure, you know, people don't crash into me and trucks are whizzing by. And then I start it up again, and I get back on the freeway, and I keep going. And it only does this when it rains or when it snows out.
Uh-huh.
In complete dry, sunny, lovely weather, no problems.
I believe you have a textbook case.
Yeah.
You think so? Textbook.
Textbook.
Yeah. That would be good.
Of carburetor icing.
Yahoo!
And
what?
In order for this to happen, the
carburetor icing.
The temperature has to be, if it's 70 degrees, this is unlikely to happen. It has to probably be 50 degrees or less and raining.
Okay.
And what's happening is as the air, which is laden with moisture, gets sucked into your engine through the carburetor.
Yeah.
Something called the Venturi effect causes a temperature drop.
Mm.
And that temperature drop is enough to lower that air temperature from 40 or 50 degrees even.
Okay.
To 30 degrees or less, which, as we know, will cause ice crystals to form. And they form in the throat of the carburetor. And pretty soon your carburetor is choking, just like if you had a new potato lodged in your windpipe.
Right.
And the carburetor being unable to breathe because of this blockage will make the car run very poorly with low power because you're restricting the flow of air.
So if I stop the car and shut it off, what makes it
melts.
The ice melts because you got the latent heat of the engine.
And you've stopped the mechanism for making the ice.
You no longer have the Venturi effect. The Venturi effect is the flow of the air down the throat of the carburetor.
Now,
so you stop that from happening, you stop making new ice, you melt the old ice, and bingo, you're back on the road again.
Yeah.
What's wrong with your car is that one of two things is going on. Either the little tube that's supposed to convey hot air from the exhaust manifold up into the snorkel of the air cleaner is missing.
Yeah.
That's absolutely missing. I mean, you can count on it.
Okay.
It's 25 years old.
We lose them all the time. It's made out of either paper or some corrugated aluminum, and they disintegrate or they fall off. If the tube isn't missing, then it's likely that something called the thermal vacuum switch, which operates the door in that snorkel, is broken.
Okay.
So
both of which are relatively simple to fix and cheap.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, I mean, the tube costs just a few dollars, and you'll never find a thermal vacuum switch at the dealership. You'll have to go to a junkyard and get one off an old air cleaner.
Oh, geez. Well,
and it's probably in the junkyard because it didn't work either.
Yeah, just buy the whole air cleaner and throw it right on there.
Yeah, or maybe buy the whole car. You'll have a spare car, companion car.
Yeah.
I would love to do that instead.
Well, that's going to fix it. Guarantee it.
Yeah, guarantee it.
Yeah.
Did you write it all down?
I wrote it all down.
You did.
Good.
Oh, I was hoping you hadn't. You'd have to spend $20 for a tape of the show, but can't sell those tapes for nothing. See you tomorrow.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks a lot, guys.
We'll
Bye.
See you tomorrow. Bye. I mean, we'll see you tomorrow.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Mike. I'm from Virginia.
Where in Virginia, Mike?
It's Quinton, Virginia. It's between Richmond and Williamsburg.
All right, near Fairview.
Is it near Fairview?
No, it's south of there, near Williamsburg, near the coast.
I got it.
Oh, yeah.
I got a little problem. I got a Ford conversion van.
Yeah.
My left rear tire keeps falling off. The first time I'm getting on the highway down here, 295, picking up the 65 miles an hour, and I feel a jolt, and I look at my rear view. You know, the outside mirror, the side mirror?
Yeah.
And my left rear tire is gone, and I'm shooting sparks up. My tire passes me on the right. And then I pulled off, and I had a hard time getting it under control and everything, and brought it back to the guy that just changed the brakes, and I blamed him for not putting the lug nuts back on.
Uh-huh.
He swore he did. Then it happened again when I was coming home, you know, close to home. I was only going like 10 miles an hour. So I went back to the same guy, and he knew he put the lug nuts on. He knew he put them on tight.
Oh, I bet he put them on extra tight.
Yeah. And he said there was no damage to the posts. He could use the same posts again.
The studs.
Yeah, after the second time.
But the lug nuts were gone?
The lug nuts were gone. So I went to the guy I originally bought it from, you know, the dealer. He's a car dealer.
Mm-hmm.
And he said my problem was I have aluminum turbine wheels, and nobody should ever trust them, that we should get rid of them. So I went to a Ford dealer to see if he would change the wheels for me, and he told me that I was nuts, the guy was nuts, and it wasn't a problem that someone was loosening my lug nuts.
No, no one's loosening no one's loosening your lug nuts. It's very likely to be the wheels.
And in fact, I'm hard pressed to think of anything else it could be.
Yeah.
Right. Unless the studs are faulty, but it's a very simple matter to change those studs.
Yeah.
They should get replaced. But boy, I would hate to be the one that would have to test drive this to find out if the theory is right. I
mean, how long did after it happened the first time? Well, how long did you drive the first time?
It was a month between the first time and the second time.
And how about between the first time and the time that they did the brake job?
That was like 2 days.
2 days.
2 days.
Oh, so it lasted a lot
and
longer.
And yet it's only this one wheel.
Yeah, that's both times it's the same wheel.
And it's the left rear.
Yeah, and now
have you
have 130,000 miles on this, and this has never happened before.
Now, how long have you had the wheels, however?
The wheels came with it.
Wow.
Yeah, whoever converted it, you know, whoever.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the test. Now, the fact that it has, it's more likely to happen on the left side of the vehicle.
Yeah.
Because the wheels are turning in a direction which makes the lug nuts turn counterclockwise, which is the way you would turn them to take them off.
Uh-huh.
Okay, now the fact that it hasn't happened in the front, you can now find out if it's the wheel. Maybe you can't find out if it's the wheel. Put that wheel, switch those two wheels on the left side.
Right.
Whoa, this is dangerous.
You guys to come down and drive it.
No.
Who's going to drive it? That means if it's the wheel, the left front wheel is going to fall off.
Can you get your mother-in-law to drive it? You shouldn't have said that, Thomas. You'll have the ire of every mother-in-law in the land.
I have vowed never to say anything bad about mothers-in-law.
Right.
No, mother-in-law,
I wouldn't want to put her in that situation.
Did you have a wheel cover on this thing when the wheel nuts fell off? A hubcap? No, you can't.
No, I didn't have anything.
See, if you had a hubcap, you would have known they were going to fall off. You would have heard this awful...
I heard them rattling around.
Rattling around, yeah. But you have these fancy wheels that don't have hubcaps.
Right. See, that's what the guy, when I went back to him, the guy I bought it from, he said, take these turbine aluminum things off and put on old-fashioned wheels with hubcaps, he said.
Well, I mean, that certainly was one way to solve the problem. And if I had to, I think, risk losing another wheel... And you had some warning. I mean, you knew something was going on.
When it started right before it happened, it felt almost like a flat tire. Like
sure, I mean, you might only have seconds warning when that happens.
Yeah.
But this is really serious, Mike. I mean, if it were I, and I cared about my life, I would immediately take these wheels off and put steel wheels on it.
You would, okay.
I know what I would do. I would like to do on 747s. I'd drill them through and wire them together.
Yeah.
Go to the junkyard. You can buy four wheels for $100.
Right.
And have them mounted and take care of it because this is bad.
Yeah,
as you well know.
Good luck, Mike, and do it soon.
Thanks a lot.
All righty. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Mary. I'm from Culver, Indiana.
Hi, Mary from Culver, Indiana. What's going on?
Well, I have a question. It's more one of those husband and wife things that we'd like you to settle.
Yeah.
My husband and I go on a lot of long road trips. We really, really like that. We like the back roads and everything. And occasionally, as we're driving along, I got to make sure I say this correctly. I have said we pass an odor, but that's not what I really mean. We encounter an odor from the outside coming into the car.
Oh.
Yes.
Encounter, yeah.
That's another story.
Okay. Passing is, okay.
Right. So encounter. We're driving along and say, like, you know, we pass maybe where a skunk has been or an industrial odor or, you know, some car that's kind of emitting some things.
Yeah.
And my husband has this, what I call a screwball theory, that if he rolls down his window, like immediately, as soon as we smell this, that's better for everybody involved, and that the odor will dissipate more quickly. Whereas,
that only works if the odor is coming from inside the car.
That's what I'm thinking.
I can attest to that.
But,
right, and this isn't—we are not generating this odor.
When you encounter this odor, this happens with the windows closed.
Exactly,
sure,
the windows are rolled up and everything. And he will do this whether it's January or June. He will.
Okay.
So I think just grin and bear it and drive fast, get out of there. So
see now. I've always operated on this theory that if I wanted to, how can I delicately say this?
You can't.
If I wanted to unleash an odor of my own,
right.
The time to do it is when you've encountered some other odor that might mask your odor.
That's a good point.
Right? And of course, you'd open the window just to be on the safe side.
Well, that might be what's happening. No.
Oh, no.
No, but he does this. And I thought, oh, he's the only one. I mean, he's brilliant that he's quirky. And I thought, oh, he's the only one. So then we were driving a student someplace one time. We're both teachers. And this happened. He rolled down the window. She goes, oh, my dad does that all the time. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. You
know? Well, it is true, I suppose,
really?
That when you open a window, you can get enough of a, what do they call that, a draft. You know, it's like a chimney effect.
Yeah.
Well, of course.
That you're drawing.
When you open the windows, you're going to suck out everything that's in the car already.
Yeah.
Right. So there may be something to it.
Possibly. He says that he developed this. He grew up in Amish country in northern Indiana.
Well, you know, I the next time he does this, though, see if he leans and lifts a cheek or anything, because that could be a dead giveaway that there's something else going on. Yeah, just a thought.
I will keep an eye out for that. But he says he actually developed this in relation to, you know, being around a lot of horses and buggies, you know, on the road.
So I happen to think
them.
He's right.
I happen to think he's right, too, but I happen to think he may be up to something else as well.
So. You know, I'm going to keep an eye on the guy. Well, thank you.
Well, thank you for calling, Mary.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. Hey, were you able to solve last week's puzzle about the seven-letter word?
No, I couldn't get it. I was surprised, though, how quickly everyone else around here figured it out.
They did?
I mean, yeah, as soon as we walked out of the studio last week, everyone started yelling out the answer.
Oh, yeah?
Fathead!
No,
Fathead!
They weren't answering the puzzle. Dope. They always yell that when you come out of the studio.
No. They usually yell a seven-letter word that we can't say on the radio. That's why I thought they were answering the puzzle.
Well, the seven-letter word in last week's puzzler contained all five vowels, and we'll be back with the answer along with more of your calls in just a minute. Well, the front window needs a little repair. The passenger seat, that's a beanbag chair. There's a snow chain stuck on a left rear tire. Oh, a Pinto Squire.
And even though the NPR mail ladies sprinkle a little more powdered laxative on our Valentine's Day candies whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
This message comes from Car Talk and NPR sponsor BetterHelp, the online counseling service dedicated to connecting you with a licensed counselor to help you overcome whatever stands in the way of your happiness. Fill out a questionnaire and get matched with a professional tailored to your needs. And if you aren't satisfied with your counselor, you can request a new one at any time, free of charge. Visit BetterHelp.com/CarTalk to get 10% off your first month. Get the help you deserve with BetterHelp.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Kay Buxbaum in support of the David Gilkey and Zabiula Tamana Memorial Fund, established to strengthen NPR's commitment to training and protecting journalists in high-risk environments.
Here at Planet Money Industries, we've manufactured T-shirts, we've bought oil, we've even gone to space. But our next Planet Money series, well, let's just say a superhero is born. Coming to a podcast feed near you from NPR.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the answer to last week's puzzler. And
yeah.
This was, I think I mentioned, this was a hint, by
this
the way.
This is a huge hint.
It was a semi-automotive puzzler sent in by someone named Bill Kojak, I think, and it went like this. He wrote, last year, a friend of mine and his wife went on vacation to Key West and spent most of their time either sport fishing on the high seas or carousing on Duval Street. And my wife and I prefer a very different kind of vacation. We like hiking and camping and using Stone Age toilet facilities. So we spend most of our vacation in the woods in California and the Pacific Northwest.
So we got the Pacific Northwest and we got Key West.
Key West.
Pacific Southeast.
Atlantic Southeast. When we returned from our trips, I said to my friend that on our vacation, we saw something that when written down, has all five vowels, and the vowels make up five of the seven letters in the word. In fact, we saw not just one, but a few of these things. My friend said, you know, when we got to Key West, we also saw something that when written down has all five vowels in its seven letters. In fact, we saw quite a few of these as well. Each of us wrote down our seven-letter word and then exchanged papers. Lo and behold, We had written the same word. But what I saw and what he saw were very different things. What did each of us see? And there were lots of hints, including the fact that it was, I mentioned earlier, semi-automotive.
This was an excellent puzzler.
You thought so, eh?
I did.
Well, what he saw were some rather large sport utility vehicles called sequoias. And what we saw were some very large trees called sequoias.
Wow.
Pretty good, eh?
That is superb.
So who's our winner?
We had no winner. Nobody got it right. The winner this week is Kate Kelly from Drewsville, New Hampshire. And for having her answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Kate will get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at cartalk.com, with which she can pick up our newest CD, Maternal Combustion, Calls About Moms and Cars.
Which includes the call in which our dear mother, Elizabeth, revealed which one of us she loved the best.
Actually, I think she just wound up saying she'd take a bad case of bed bugs over either one of us.
Anyway, we'll have a new puzzler still to come, so stick around for that. In the meantime, you can call us about your car. We're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Aloha, this is Father John Millen calling from Honolulu.
Padre!
Father John!
Now, wait a minute. If you're a priest, how do you manage to get stationed?
Wait a minute, we're better than that. If you died and went to heaven, how would you know?
Well, it's very hard to die here. It's harder here than most places.
You're already in heaven.
Right.
I mean, everyone
Absolutely.
Thinks they're
Someone
in heaven already.
Do
how do you get them to come to church?
Well, it's hard, but I'm still working at it, and they come once in a while.
See, here in Boston, they get us to come to church because they say if you die, you'll be going to heaven where it's nice and warm and beautiful, not like this stinking town you live in of Boston. But you can't use that ploy.
Right. Because you've been doing such a good job of going to church, I'd like to tell you that you have won a chance to stay with me in Honolulu. You have to provide your own trip, but I'll pick you up at the airport and give you a place to stay. I'm a married priest with a daughter, and I'm an Episcopal priest, and I'd love to have you come and stay with us.
We don't have to lie down on some pew in the back of
a church, do
we?
A real house.
Do you live anywhere near Waikiki?
Yes, we're halfway between Diamond Head and Cocoa Head. Real easy
drive
to Waikiki.
No. Ooh, 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 how sweet it is. Father, any question you have, we'll take care of it.
Terrific.
So
well,
shoot.
My question is, as a priest, I don't get a chance to buy a new car very often, and I'm probably like a lot of other people.
Yes,
and,
I'm with you.
You know, I don't look at cars all that much until it gets time to buy one. And then I start paying attention to them and picking out one and trying to figure out which car to get and the best price.
Yeah.
Since the Lord has sent me here to Hawaii, I thought this time around I might go for a Mazda Miata.
But you have kids, you said?
Well, I have 3 grown children that are on the mainland and 10-year-old here.
I guess your 10-year-old will not be able to come with you and your wife in the Miata. Because there really is no room, as you know, for
but
the third person.
That may have been his intention.
Maybe
that's my intention. I figure that way I'll get to be part of the conversation. Otherwise, I'd be left out.
Exactly.
If they're both there at the same time.
So, I mean, what's your question? There's no
question
here.
My question is, how do I get the best price?
How do you get the best price?
Can I do like we do on jobs and send a bid sheet to each dealer and try to get a bid? Will that work? how's the best way to get a good price?
Gee, that's a good question. See, here in the north, we use the mafia, but I don't know if they have a chapter, as we say, in Honolulu.
Well, I don't imagine you have a whole bunch of Mazda dealers in Honolulu.
Actually, 4 on Oahu.
4?
Well, you need to pit one against the other. First, you need to find out one guy's price. Then subtract $1,000 from that and go to the other guy and
tell him. Yeah, I mean, the technique, I remember when I bought a new car. It was 1965, and I'll tell you what I did. I did exactly what my brother...
This was the last time he bought a new car.
Yeah, it was the one and only time I bought a new car. I did exactly what my brother said. I went to one dealer, and I told him exactly what I wanted, and he gave me a price, which I believe at the time was $6,000.
No, that car? No, less than 3.
Yeah.
Less
than
3.
You know how much it was? I remember exactly how much I paid.
Yeah,
I'm
going to tell you.
I can't tell you what car it was.
$27.85.
That's very close. It was actually $25.5. It was free.
And you wanted 10 grand from me for junking that sleek black junk box?
Appreciation.
I
The price went up. So I went to one dealer. He said 28. I went to the second dealer. I said, yeah, I can get it from. In fact, the 2 dealers were. One was Bach.
Yeah.
Who sold AMCs. He told me 28. I went to the dealer in Mansfield, Mass., the name of which I forgot now, and said, gee, I can get it up the street for $27. He said,
you lied.
He said, I'll give it to you for $26.5. So I went back to Bach and said, I can get it for $25.5. He said, go get it. And then I went back and I got the $26.5 guy down to $25.5.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it's a 12-step process.
Now, when you went to look at this car, you went in person to look at it, did you wear civilian garb?
Probably. I can't remember.
That's my big question. I don't think this has ever been tested. You could do a test. You have four dealerships there. I would go into two of the dealerships in civilian garb and see how you get treated and what kind of a price you get, and then wear your uniform for the other two dealerships. And if you do better with the uniform, think about how this is going to work.
Even sleazeball salesmen will tremble in their boots at the thought of trying to cheat you, Padre.
Yeah. Because
they'll never know deep down what the consequences might be.
Exactly.
I mean,
right.
They might chisel their own mothers, but not a priest.
Yeah.
So I would use the power of the cloth, so to speak.
I would, too. And if we find out that you get better results,
we'll go in business selling the
we'll
collars.
We'll go in business selling collars. We'll give that away every week instead of baseball hats. We'll call it the Father John used car collar.
Well, Father, we're going to have to rely on you to give us the data on this.
I am curious to know how you make out, though.
And send us a postcard or send us a snapshot.
Yeah, a snapshot.
You at the wheel.
Okay.
Thanks, Father.
Good luck.
You guys come and see us, and you do have a place to stay if you come and see us.
All right.
Great.
Okay.
We'll be there.
Thank
Alrighty.
You.
Bye-bye.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Hey, do you know what it's time for?
Time to try and convince the IRS that bribing the FCC is a legitimate business expense?
No. It's time to play Stump the Chumps. Well, every once in a while, we let a previous caller back onto the show to find out whether our advice was good, bad, awful, horrendous, libelous, or whatever.
So who's this week's contestant?
This week's contestant is Allison, whom I don't remember, a wee Scottish lass living in Denver, Colorado. I'm beginning to remember her.
I have no recollection.
We have notes here, though. Don't worry. She called us a few months back because her 94 VW Golf was having trouble starting in the mornings. Yeah.
It's like rrr, rrr,
okay,
rrr.
But does it crank slowly or does it crank at the regular speed? Regular speed. Here's slowly.
Fully.
Slowly. Tell me you want your money back on the spark plugs, the wires, the cracked breather.
The breather.
And everything else they might have done.
The breather.
If you told them that.
So once we overcame the language barrier, the breather. What did we tell her to do?
We told her to have the battery, the starter, and the charging system tested.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it sounded to us a lot like a bad battery. It sounded like it would start the car once, but not have enough juice to start it a second time if it stalled.
Well, let's find out. Allison, how's your breather, Les?
Hello, guys. My breather's fine. Thank you very much.
Okay, Allison, before you tell us anything, tell us whether we have to do the Carmen Miranda thing. Have we ever spoken to you about this since that last phone call?
I've not heard from you guys at all, no.
And do you swear that you have not been influenced by us, our staff, or the Denver Bagpipers local? No, huh?
No.
No.
Good. So what happened?
Well, what happened, I took the car and I checked out the battery, the alternator and everything.
Yeah.
And you guys were right, the alternator was dodgy.
Yay! We got one right!
You did!
So you had the alternator replaced?
Yeah, and then a week later, the oil pump failed.
Oh, well. That's just bad luck.
Yeah, I'm just going to get a new engine by the time I'm finished.
Anyway, we haven't talked to you in quite a while. How are things going in Denver?
Things are going well in Denver. It's still beautiful and working hard, so yeah.
You're working.
And I've had so much feedback from the first time I was on.
Really?
That it's been really flattering. It's been lovely.
Did you meet any fellas yet?
A few nice gentlemen have been in contact. And
how nice.
Yeah, it's been really sweet. It's been really lovely.
Well, great.
Thank
I wish you.
You
the very best, Allison.
Thank you very much.
And thanks for coming back.
No problem.
And don't lose that accent. It's charming. And good luck with your breather.
Thanks, guys.
See you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
If you want to talk to us, our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. How's your breather, anyway?
This thing?
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jenny calling from Albany.
Hi, Jenny.
Jenny, how you doing?
Albany, New York, I trust.
Right.
There's only one Albany in the entire country. Just like there are 55 Fairviews and Midways, there's only one Albany in the entire country.
Wrong.
And it's in Georgia. Where are you from, Jenny?
From New York.
Oh, Albany, New York. The other Albany. Yeah, there are two. There are two Albanys.
What's up, Jenny?
Well, I have a 1986 Honda Civic.
Honda Civic, yeah.
Okay. The problem is, about 2 weeks ago, I got locked out, and I was outside of Albany, where it's really rural, and so I went to a house, and I was with a friend, and we got a hanger.
What'd you do? You locked the keys in the car?
Yeah. Want to hear the story?
Oh, yeah, we do.
I mean, this is a family show, Jenny.
Okay.
And since you're telling us that you're out in the rural whatever area of Albany, and you locked the keys in the car, please be careful what the story is. Because
okay.
I got all kinds of prurient ideas flowing around in my head.
No. This is totally legit.
Oh, okay.
We are going running.
Uh-huh. Oh,
so
I see.
So I separate my house keys and my car keys so I can carry less.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Meanwhile, the sun's about to go down. We're wearing shorts, so it's getting kind of chilly. And I realized that I locked the car keys in instead of the house keys. So we went to a house and we got a hanger. And we're trying to see the lock for the door is on the inside of the door.
Yeah.
And so we were trying to slip it in by the window. Like
that chance.
It's
very hard to do.
Right. Well, that took a while.
Yeah.
And then out of nowhere, this van drives up and happens to have a Slim Jim in the back of his car.
He just happened to have one because on weekends he steals cars, right?
He does, from the fair, he told us.
Yeah.
And so anyway, he opened the door right up, you know.
Oh, yeah.
No problem.
Mm-hmm.
And we went running.
Yeah.
We came
home. The day of the coat hanger is pretty much gone. Sometimes you can manage to get the coat hanger through the door because the weather stripping of the door leaves enough room if you bend it and rip it and tear it apart for you to get in. But mostly with windows, you're done for.
Hmm.
It's getting very, very difficult in the used car stealing business. I'm sorry. Yeah, So anyway,
everything was fine. Until the next day, when now my door doesn't lock.
Right.
Inside the door, it looks like it's on the lock position.
Right.
But it's jammed. I can't do it with my hand or with a key.
Right. You need to take the door apart.
I do.
Well, not you maybe, but someone needs to take the door apart because in his ardor to get the door open for you quickly, he probably bent one of the rods that runs from the door lock, the real lock, to the handle on the inside. There's a rod that runs across, and when you lock the door from the inside with your finger,
right,
thumb. I always use my thumb.
Yes, okay.
Me too.
Your thumb.
Yeah.
When you locked it with your thumb, that rod pushes the lock and does the same thing that you would do if you had turned the key.
Yeah, and it's jammed.
Okay.
It's jammed or whatever.
It'll be easy to fix, though.
If you can't figure out what's wrong with it when you take it apart, take the other door apart and look at that one.
Then you'll have two that are apart.
Is this pretty difficult? Should I take it in somewhere?
Yeah, I would take it somewhere.
I would take it in because they'll probably charge you less than an hour's labor to fix it because someone that's done it before will be able to fix it.
Right.
In
this
no
is
time.
A less than $50 job.
Oh, great.
Yeah, unless he broke something.
But why do you lock the car anyway?
Well, I don't know.
I'm opposed to locking. I have never locked a car. I always have convertibles, and you should never lock a convertible, but I guess a Civic is not a convertible.
I never lock my car either. I'm philosophically opposed to locking cars.
Yeah, but I mean, the guys who are going to steal the car, having the door open is not going to prevent them from stealing
it. Right, and you saw how fast this guy with the Slim Jim opened it, so why lock it?
He probably opened it faster than you could open it with the key.
You're right.
So why bother?
Well, if I lived in Midway, I definitely would not lock the
door. I think we all need to rebel. I think we all need to leave our cars unlocked.
No more locks.
Okay.
And it would drive the insurance guys crazy.
Ah,
and if they want
cares?
Us to lock our cars, let them follow you around, and every time you park, let them lock it.
That's right.
Stop locking your cars.
Okay. Save the money.
And you can't lock the keys in it. See you, Jenny.
Thanks a lot.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, you know, I think it's time for us to take a little break.
I have to admit that I've never liked the fact that we take a break during this part of the show. I think it sends the wrong message to the listeners.
Yeah? Well, what message would that be?
Well, that the radio station sounds so much better when we're not talking.
They already know that. We'll be back with more of your calls and a brand new puzzler in just a minute, so don't go away.
Every Sunday morning, I'm out there with my car. I've bonded to the bumper. Some would say I've gone too far. Put it on like frosting, a little at a time. I've a Bondo technique I can truly say is mine. Bondo queen, Bondo girl, Bondo babe, that's cool. It's now my life's ambition. I'm a Bondo fool.
And even though snowmen everywhere pray for temperatures in the upper 40s whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
This message comes from NPR and Car Talk sponsor CarMax. At CarMax, the best way to buy a car is your way. Shop on your schedule and choose from over 50,000 CarMax certified vehicles at CarMax.com. Check out 360-degree views, set up a trade-in appraisal, apply for financing, and buy online or in-store with curbside pickup and home delivery in select markets. Get all the details and start the search for your next car today at CarMax.com.
Hey, my name is Peter Sagal, and I am here to help you with the most pressing problem facing civilization today. There are too many good podcasts to listen to. Now, why not avoid that whole problem by listening to an extremely silly podcast hosted by me? On Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, it's wisecracks about the week's news, shenanigans, fart jokes, and general silliness. And doesn't that sound pretty great right now? Listen to the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me podcast from NPR.
We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
I can't.
Now, you're
going
to pay attention to all the details.
I'm going to.
I can say with almost honesty that everything you're about to hear is relevant and pertinent and
really?
Useful.
No, not you really, can't no. say that.
Well, the germ of this puzzle was presented by one of my customers who also happens to be and has been for the past 30 years a traveling salesman. He travels around from town to town selling whatever he sells. I think he sells nuts and bolts, etc.
Yeah.
Cotter pins and the like.
Great.
And like I said, he's been a salesman for 30 years. And when he first started out on this job, I guess he immediately fell into disfavor with the company hierarchy. Because they assigned him, he started in the middle of winter, and they assigned him such exotic places like Moose Jaw, Maine, Freeze Your Butt, New Hampshire, places like that. So he would have to travel by car from one location to another, and he often found himself, because he was a salesman driving from town to town in the winter, looking for cheap motels in which to spend the night. So you with me so far?
I'm with you so far.
You are, huh?
Yeah.
Well, that's too bad.
Mostly in the Great Northeast here.
Mostly. Oh yeah. His route was Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, upstate New York.
Whew, man,
terrible.
He really ticked somebody off, didn't
well,
he?
Well, worse than that, when the weather got nice, they shipped him down to Florida, Georgia, Alabama, and then as soon as the winter came,
back he goes. Yeah.
And he began to notice, he said, a disturbing thing. When he would stop at these motels, oftentimes the owner of the motel was also the clerk, and they'd have you fill out that little card, you know, name, address, phone, home phone, in case you skip out in the middle of the night. And he said in some of those they had a little thing that said occupation. And in some cases they had nothing that asked for occupation, but it seemed to be always the case that the motel owner would ask him what he did for a living.
Really?
And then when he said he was a salesman, he would almost always be assigned a room on the second floor if they had one, or if the motel had a second floor.
Right.
And
so
he asked me if I knew why this happened. And I said, I didn't have a clue.
So
he gave me a clue.
He did.
Well, I asked him if it had anything to do with the car that he drove. And he said, I guess you could say so. At the time, I was driving a Volkswagen, and that's all I knew.
Yeah.
And from that, I was able to get the answer out of him when I got him in a headlock. Now, if you think you know the answer, write that answer on the back of a $20 bill or a ripe melon and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our Fair City.
Matt 02238. Or you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com. If you'd like to call us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255.
You haven't done the double-triple thing for the whole show, you know.
You're on car talk. Car talk.
Hello, is someone there?
This is Dick calling from St. Paul, Minnesota.
All right, Dick.
What's up?
Well, I got a small problem with an 88 Voyager van. It's it's not a major thing, but it's an annoyance. In fact, the wife doesn't even notice it.
Like my brother. He's not a maybe. He's just an annoyance, and I got to put up with him. And I understand. I will answer this question.
Exactly what this is.
Yeah.
It's an annoyance. But anyway, it vibrates when you're decelerating at about 55 miles an hour, take your foot off the gas, you get kind of a buzz. It's got the four-cylinder with an automatic in it.
Oh,
and
bulletproof.
Yeah, but I talked to a couple of Chrysler mechanics. One guy said it was the tires. I said, no, it's not the tires because it does it at any RPM. I can hold it in second gear, and it'll do it again at 2,500 RPM.
So 2,500 RPM.
That's the magic number.
The number.
Yeah.
And another guy I talked to said it's the exhaust system. He says there's something loose there. He says what we do, and I can't imagine this, but he says what we do is we hang a weight on the catalytic converter. So I have access to some metal, and I hung about a 16-pound piece of steel up.
16 pounds? No.
But it's still there.
You didn't really hang 16 pounds.
That's about 16 pounds, yeah. A big plate. I bolted it to the converter.
Why don't you just hang a couple of bags of sugar?
I couldn't get a bowling ball under there.
He did, actually, but it disturbed the directional stability of the vehicle. Jeez, that's great, Dick. So who is this guy?
Well, he has to go unnamed. He's a Chrysler mechanic, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he actually might be right. You've reached the harmonic frequency of something at 2,500 RPM.
Yeah, you're getting what's called a sympathetic vibration.
That's right.
Does it kind of whimper at the same time?
I can feel for you about this. Does it sound like it's coming from the engine compartment?
Well, it's hard. You can feel it. You feel it in the floor. You feel it in the steering wheel. It's not the front end. I had that looked at, and got new tires, balance, and everything. And
can you sit still without the vehicle in motion and get it to make the noise?
Yeah.
So you can just, in neutral.
Yeah, you can rev it to 2,500, and it'll
come right in.
And it'll ging. Is that the noise?
Yep.
Ging. Well, I haven't made it yet. I was just getting But that's it, huh?
Yeah.
Well, then it's probably a loose heat shield on the exhaust system.
A heat shield?
Yeah, take it to your garage. First of all, take that stupid weight off.
Yeah. Well, I mean, who knows? The weight might work for somebody. The guy wants to go unnamed.
He said it's an actually. He said they actually had like a kit that they bolted on there that's a heavy weight. And I said, well, how heavy? And he says, 15 pounds or so, he said.
Really? No. I've never heard
of
this.
You got a pencil,
one.
Dick. Write this down for this guy. You're nuts. No, he's...
he is a little bit wacko. Yeah, I mean, it is possible that if the exhaust system is riding real close to the frame, that it could, at some frequency, start hitting the frame. But that would be a much heavier sound than the sound that you described. Because that would be the exhaust system, pipes and or mufflers, whatever, hitting the frame, which would be more of a rumbling sound.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah, it's not doing that.
And it's not doing that. No. So if it's doing the tinkly kind of sound, then it's either the heat shield, which has to be re-welded or removed or rehabbed.
Reworked.
Or reworked. Or it's inside the catalytic converter.
That's probably what it is.
What size engine do you have in this thing?
2.5.
This should actually not be so hard to find because he's got to put it up. As long as you can get it to make the noise while you're not moving, put it up on the lift, rev it up to 2,500 RPM, and if it's the heat shield, he can put his hand right on it
and go,
and burn his fingers and figure out that that's it. And if he's down there and he can grab onto the heat shield without burning himself and it doesn't make the noise go away, it's probably inside the catalytic converter.
Yeah, what he'll do, I mean, you haven't put it on the lift, and what he'll do is while you rev it up to 2,500 and get it to make the noise, he'll move things around with his big pry bar. And one of the things he'll move around is one of the heat shields, and he'll probably get the noise to go away. And you'll say, when I don't hear the noise anymore, I'll toot the horn.
Right, and he'll jump right through the bottom of that car. This is not hard to find, because you're lucky that it makes the noise at rest.
Is it worse when the engine's cold?
No, it doesn't make any difference there.
Okay. Well, good.
I thought maybe it might be like a dynamic balancer or something that was out of whack. But.
No, I rather doubt it. It wouldn't make a rattle. You'd get a vibration from that, but not a rattle.
Right.
A rattle is a lightweight piece of steel. It's probably something a little less than 16 pounds that's rattling around.
Yeah, like about an ounce.
Do you want me to send you that weight then, do you?
Yeah,
mail it to us, would you?
See you later, Dick.
Hey, good luck, Dick.
Okay.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Oh, we should have had Allison...
Yeah.
The gal from Scotland, do our phone number.
Oh, man, call her back.
Right?
We should have everyone who's on Stump the Chumps do our phone number. Think about how much time it would save you.
Especially her with her beautiful accent.
Oh, man.
Next time.
Yeah, okay.
Hello, you're on Car
Talk. If not, we'll get Sean Connery.
There you go.
He's Welsh, you know.
Yes. Hello, you're on. Hello, anyone there?
Hi, this is Carl.
Carl with a K.
No, with a C.
Yeah. Where are you from?
I'm from smoke-free Marblehead.
Marblehead, Massachusetts?
That's correct. Birthplace of the American Navy.
No, yeah. Really?
That's true. First ship commissioned by General George Washington was built in Marblehead.
What was he doing way out in Marblehead?
He got lost.
On Route 1A? You often wonder. I mean, even now, it takes an hour to get to Marblehead. It must have taken him a week to get there.
Anyway, Carl, what can we do for you?
Well, my daughter bought a 1994 Mazda B3000 pickup truck.
Yeah.
With about 100,000 miles on it. She drove from Boston to Colorado. She called me and said, Dad, there's something unusual about this truck. As I drove along, I had more gas than when I started. The gauge kept moving towards full.
Really?
And when I stopped to fill it up, when I topped it off, it read empty.
That's awesome.
Really?
I like that one.
So, but she must have started out with a full tank. Did it read empty then?
I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah.
No, I think it broke en route.
Well, I'll give you a little more history.
Yeah, please. We're going
to
need
it. When we went to the dealership and checked out the vehicle, they said there's two problems that we know of with the vehicle. It needs a new windshield, and it needs a new float in the gas tank.
Yeah, that's the sending unit.
And they said, we'll fix it. So we know that they went ahead and put in a new float.
Well, how do you know that?
Oh.
Actually, I trust them.
This is a dealership?
Yeah.
And you trust them?
Yes.
It's a cousin, huh?
Are you interested in a bridge? Interesting.
I suspect that the problem is not the sending unit, but something that would give you the same symptom, and that is a chafed wire between the sending unit and the gauge.
But see, what she described is kind of interesting because she said as she was driving, it gradually moved closer and closer to the full mark.
That's right. It's an inverse relationship.
See, and usually if you have like a chafed wire, it doesn't act like that.
No, it doesn't. It would shoot up usually.
It usually shoots to full.
So I'm going to my fallback position.
Wait a minute. You may have something, but we have to answer, how is it doing it gradually? Or we could throw it back to Carl and tell him he's a liar.
That's a possibility.
Yeah, we've done that.
I mean, he may be a follower of the old premise, don't let the facts get in the way of a good story.
I must admit that I do subscribe to that philosophy.
Yeah, as do we all.
But in this case, it doesn't apply.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm going to predict that the gauge is faulty.
However, you should question your daughter, of course you trust her. But she, too, may subscribe to the never let the facts get in the way of a good story.
He's a writer.
Yeah, there you go. And
so, shall I brag about your writing?
Yeah, of course you should.
Sure.
What does she write?
What does she write?
She's actually won national poetry slams. And
really?
Yeah.
Does she need an agent?
Are you volunteering?
My brother's always looking for work. Actually, my brother's wife is always looking for work for him.
Yeah, not for herself. No, but the truth of the matter is she may not have been quite straight or clear. We don't want to accuse her of anything, but she may have been trying to give you a good story. And if, in fact, you question her and she says, well, you're absolutely right. What it does is it doesn't creep up toward full. It's on full all the time. That still wouldn't explain why it went to empty when she filled the tank.
That's correct.
And she may say, well, it didn't really. And if she does answer that way to those two questions, then it is a chafed wire someplace. But let's assume that she's telling the truth, because women don't lie like guys do. And in which case, I agree with my brother.
Not it's that in... we know of.
Not that we know of. That's right.
Yeah. Either they don't lie or they're really, really good at it. But I would use the bright lights if you have to, Carl.
Give
your daughter a good interrogation. And if you don't get any more information, then suspect the gauge.
Will do.
See you later.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, it's Allison again from Denver.
Allison from Denver.
Allison! Excellent! This is great!
We need you to do our phone number.
Uh-huh.
And you have such a beautiful, beautiful accent that we could play it week after week. Of course, you'd get $150 every time we used your voice.
Oh,
right,
wow.
Of course.
Fat chance.
Hey.
So if you could just say the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255 or 888-227-8255.
Okay, which one do you want?
You do
all of them. Whatever you
want
to do.
Whatever you want.
Whatever is most comfortable for you.
Okay. 1-888-227-8255-1-888-CAR-TALK.
Oh!
Allison, thank you. We love you.
Thanks for being
sport.
A good sport.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, man. Now, if we could only get someone to do the rest of the show.
Well, you've just made my day.
You made ours.
Thanks, Allison.
Bye-bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Fargo Fur Feather and Finn Friolator Fun Fest, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our long-distance truck driver is Etienne Wheeler. Our director of top-secret strategy is Donatello Nobody. Our emergency preparedness director is Ron Likel. Our solicitor of new ideas is Obi Quiet. Our sexual harassment investigator is Hank Pankey. Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Luke Outavindo. Our eBay specialist is Selma Junkoff. Our rental property manager is Ulysses Up. Our construction manager is Dustin Dubree. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. And our seat cushion tester, of course, is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the gifted and talented squirrels in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack. The Tappet Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my sister.
Don't drive like my brother or my sister.
Don't drive like my sister.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, download other migraine-inducing episodes, and check out our clothing and best-of collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, we're here to help you clean up your driveway. Got an old car that's seen better days? Well, the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program will tow it away for free and send the proceeds to the NPR station of your choice. Do it now before your local neighborhood watch group labels your car an eyesore and plants geraniums in it. Turn your car into the programs you love. Find out how at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Carthusian monks send us brochures on the benefits of a lifetime of silence whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.